With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Taco Palenque fans, we have something special for you. Try the Casero Taco now for only $2.75 Monday through Thursday. Flavor packed with premium sirloin rice and refried beans. Only at Taco Palenque. At participating locations for limited time, not valid for delivery. Other restrictions may apply.
From a top secret network of highly secure locations across South Texas, Texas in general. This is the Spurs Insider, brought to you as always by Taco Palenque. I am your host, Mike Finger, joined by Express News Spurs beat writers Jeff McDonald and Tom Orsborn, and Express News sports editor Nick Talbot. We're going to start this morning heading to a secure location in Houston just to make sure that Jeff McDonald's eyes, his psyche, everything is okay after witnessing one of the more hideous sights in NBA history, at least in recent NBA history, the night before we recorded this podcast. Jeff, is everything okay in Houston?
Yeah, everything's fine. I left at halftime.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. We should start there because your local Cagers have set a franchise record for most losses in a row, closing in on league-wide records. And it's not like this is a cheapie, because the most recent loss was not enjoyable to look at in any way, shape, or form, was it?
It wasn't enjoyable. It was like something out of like the Jeff Van Gundy Rockets era, where you're playing. It was 92-83. Did I get that backwards? I don't know. It was 90-something to 80-something, which is you don't see in the NBA. So often these days, and it's kind of funny because it's like watching, they're like playing whack-a-mole. Like one day they're losing games because they're giving up offensive rebounds, and they get that fixed, and well, it's a turnover issue, and then they get that kind of shored up. Now that they can't play defense, now they hold a team to 92 points, and they still lose. So it's almost, there's got to be a frustration level there of like, what do we have to do to win a basketball game? Like we've been told how horrible we are at defense. We hold the team to 92 points, but then we go 5-for-41 from the three-point line and can't score and lose that game anyway. So it's just, I can just imagine the frustration level in that locker room right now. Not just that they've lost 17 in a row, it's just that every time they seem to get one area of the game cleaned up, at least for a night, something else jumps up and bites them. It's hard to do. It's hard to lose 17 games in a row. In the NBA, it's really hard to do. Although the Detroit Pistons have made it look pretty easy too. So, who knows?
That's one of the big races of the NBA this year, is to see who can reel off the longest losing streak in the league. And the Spurs are still trailing the Pistons. I believe the two highest paid coaches in the league are overseeing these two streaks. Tom, you can weigh in on just the state of the Spurs.
Yeah,
historic moment.
Kind of more intriguing than the in-season tournament, you know, the race between the Pistons and the Spurs.
Is it really?
Yeah. All right. Okay. Last night, the shooting was hideous, but they sprinkled in the usual turnovers in the fourth quarter.
Some diversity there of
of
awfulness.
Osman had a couple. You know, at points in the fourth quarter where they were, you know, they seemingly could have caught up, and he turned the ball over twice. Wemby had one. It's just, yeah, they just sprinkle in badness here and there.
If you want to put lipstick on the pig, Pop pointed this out. There is one positive thing.
Oh, Pop is positive?
Oh, yeah. Okay. But this was something I didn't really think of, but it makes sense. When you go 5 for 41 from the 3-point line, when you miss, I can't do the math, 36 3-pointers, like that's just a recipe for just getting murdered in transition because you're always playing fast break defense. And the Spurs were actually pretty good in that area last night. They only gave up 10 fast break points. Like there are signs over the last couple of weeks that they're starting to figure some things out on defense. They're not a great defensive team. But over the last 2 weeks or so, they've actually been middle of the pack.
How much is that just Wemby thwarting fast break points?
Some of that, sure. But
the other side of that coin is I saw someone point out that the Spurs forced 16 turnovers. Does that sound correct, Jeff?
And they scored like 4 points off of them.
Yeah. Which is really, really, really not good.
That's not a good conversion rate there. But, I mean, nobody wants to hear it. But this thing's going to turn around if they start playing a little bit of defense. And there are some signs that that's starting to happen. But if you want to go back to making fun of them, we can do that too.
Well, you mentioned to start the podcast that this flashes back to Jeff Van Gundy era Rockets games. And the difference there is, like, there's twice as many possessions now as there used to be. Like, they're playing in the old days, in the 90s, when we were growing up, when we were cutting our teeth in this league, the scores were in the 60s and 70s and 80s because there just weren't many shots. Now that they're taking 2020s level shots and just missing them all, it's much, much harder to watch than the Van Gundy era.
5 of 41. And they were open. Like, a lot of those were open. They weren't forced. So that's how that happens.
You got LeBron James coming in this week. Is that a big deal? He's coming in for two against Victor Wembanyama, changing of the guard.
That is a big deal.
In terms of the face of the league.
Yeah.
It's just difficult to buy into. And I do think Victor Wembanyama is, if not the face of the future of the league, one of the faces of the future of the league. It's just really hard to push that narrative when his team has lost 17 games in a row. But the games will be fun, right?
Yeah, the games will be fun. And I know Victor's looking forward to it. Like he said, I asked him about this last night. I mean, he's a rookie. So every time he plays one of these guys, it's a big deal. So you're playing Kevin Durant. Oh, it's a big deal. You're playing Stephen Curry. It's a big deal. He was really into, seeing Rudy Gobert just for the French Connection. Jokic, just because that's he's the best player in the NBA right now, probably. But for all these guys that were born in the 2000s, like, the game against LeBron is like the real welcome to the NBA moment. It's like, a deity coming down from heaven and walking amongst us when you're on the floor with that guy. So Victor's definitely been looking forward to these two games in San Antonio. Just it's the indoctrination into the league for players of this generation is sharing a court with LeBron James. So it'll be a special night for Victor. I'm not sure, it'll take some doing for the Spurs to snap their losing streak against these guys. The Lakers are playing pretty great. And we can kind of get into that later, but Victor's playing five now. So I don't know what that looks like when I see what it looks like when you're playing the Rockets. What does it look like when you're playing Anthony Davis and the Lakers? Like, are we going to watch Victor guard Anthony Davis for 30 minutes?
Why not?
Are we going to put the kid in that situation? Maybe we are. I don't know. It doesn't seem great, but that was the reason.
Victor's a better interior defender than anybody the Spurs have. Yeah. And I understand your point that, it's a lot to ask of him. But by definition, whoever else you pick to guard Anthony Davis would be worse because Victor's the best interior defender they have.
Yeah.
I don't see the problem.
Against guys that outweigh him and can bully him, it's a tough ask. Like, he's still
okay. He's still not let Anthony Davis just torch Zach Collins or Sandro Mamukelishvili. Like, there's not a better option there.
Wait, you say that again. You nailed it.
Thank you very much. Thank
say
you
it again.
Much.
Do it. Do it.
Should we get into the curse of the Taco Palenque podcast when it comes to Charlie Bassey and the question that we took from the viewers, the listeners last week, in which I believe it was
yeah,
the question that was posed was should Charlie Bassey be their best backup center? Should he be playing? We said, of course he should. Of course he should. He hasn't played since, and he might not play again.
Yeah, I don't think Bill's allowed to ask any more questions.
Okay. Because immediately they go after that podcast to the next starting lineup experiment of Wimby at the five, surrounded by four non-point guards, which pushes Charlie Bassey to the third unit, basically, because it makes Zach Collins the backup big man, which was interesting for a while. But to get Charles Bassey some run, to get him some game action to keep him in shape, he gets sent up to Austin over the weekend. And we really shouldn't be joking about this at all, because it doesn't sound like he will be returning to action anytime soon with a with what they fear is a problematic knee injury.
Yeah, he's got a what the doctors call a messed up knee.
Yeah,
and so
it's too bad. He'd been playing well.
He had. I think his last game he played was in New Orleans, and he was like the best player they had out there, or at least the guy that gave him the most energy. And then, like you mentioned, he's going to get lost in the shuffle when the Spurs shuffle their lineup. And then now seems to be lost for quite some time with injuries suffered playing for Austin, which, you know, you don't blame anybody. Like, you sent Mamu down there, and he, you know, for the same reason, to get some run. Mamu actually asked for it. Like, can I go play a game in Austin? And puts up one of these, he goes down there and basically turns into Shaq. Mamu does. And so Charlie Bassey's going to do the same thing. And also had a 30-point game, by the way, before leaving with an injury. And they're going to be a little thin there at that position, but I don't know how much it matters at this point. And it's 2 years in a row for Bassey too, where he's getting a good run, and then there's an injury that's going to knock him out maybe for the rest of the year. You know, last year he fractured his patella at the end of last year, missed 14 games, and now looks like he's on the shelf for an extended time as well. Just tough luck.
Yeah, tough luck. What else is there to? Is there a counter to this where we can be upbeat for just a little while on this podcast?
I already told you they played good transition defense last night. I don't know what you want from me.
Okay, Tom, do you have anything?
Man, I'm searching, Mike. I'm searching. It's there right now.
How did you? I know what'll bring us up. How did you enjoy your week off in the podcast last week? Like, we really missed you. We had to pick up the slack. We had to answer like viewer email, listener email. But you were up there in the Great White North of Minnesota, going to the tubes, going to the parks.
I heard that I always enjoy every road trip.
Yes, you do. Don't you? So you did listen to the podcast, even though you weren't on
it? No, I posted a photo from Minneapolis, and somebody commented saying, wow, you really do have fun on every road trip. And he said, and the guy said, I just heard that on the podcast. So
did you catch that though? Tom just said he did not listen to the podcast last week.
Well,
he can't be bothered.
I mean, if he's not on it, what's the point?
That's a good point. I actually, why is anyone listening to it if he's not on it?
Yeah, Minneapolis. Yeah. Let's see, that's where the experimenting started. Let's see. So Sohan was benched, I believe, in that game.
Yes. There's the weird thing. They did a new starting lineup. They did a new starting lineup for one game. That was weird, right?
Yes. Yes. With little to no, well, with no explanation from Pop. But that's when Osmond started, and they put Devin back in the starting lineup. And then what? That lasted one game, and then they won.
One game. Like, how often do we see that where? How often do we see that where
the perimeter guys? Yeah.
How often do we see that where Pop changes a lineup for one game for no reason? You know, nobody's hurt, nobody's, you know, resting. They just decided the point Sohan experiment was over, I guess, And the first move was to move him to the bench and Jetty to the starting lineup, but for one game.
Yeah,
am I making too much of this? Like, it just seemed bizarre to me.
The Minneapolis press corps, they took turns coming up to me, shaking their heads, saying, "Pop's ruining him. He's ruining him. Look at him. Look at his look. His confidence is shattered." So
Trey Jones?
No, no, Jeremy.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. They couldn't get over that move. Just couldn't. The whole thing of him at point guard was something they talked about throughout the game. Why is he playing point guard? Why did Pop even start this experiment?
Well, it didn't go well. Fair to say. No, if that experiment is over, and it seems like it sort of is for the time being. They gave it the quarter of a season, which I think ruining him is overstating it.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's going to be fine. He's going to be fine. Again, he was playing, 20 minutes a night at point guard at the most, because when he was playing his forward minutes alongside Trey Jones at times. But it did not go well. And it's completely fair to wonder if it should have happened at all now, because it did not go well.
I
think one conclusion we can draw is they are never going to start Trey Jones at point guard, like maybe even not at gunpoint. Like they're going to do anything they can to keep Trey Jones as the second unit point guard. So we're going to go with Malachi Branham now. And it's been fine, I guess. I mean, they're still losing games, but it hasn't looked like a complete meltdown. But that's what we can talk about, is why do you think they are so insistent on keeping Trey Jones with that second unit basically at all costs?
Because
they see him as, I guess, for the long term.
Because the second unit is worse. When you run the second unit guys out there who are generally not as good as other team second unit guys, there's a good chance you're going to lose those minutes. And if you're also losing those minutes with the guy who cannot play point guard, you're really, 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 really going to lose those minutes. That is my theory. I'm not saying that this is the correct explanation or that this explanation is perfect, but I think that's the theory behind it. Like at least the starting guys can get by without the quote unquote natural point guard. But if you throw out like Chetty Osmond and Doug McDermott and who are your other backup guys? If you throw those guys out there with a guy with non-point guard, like you're just begging to get blown out. And I think that's the rationale, is to at least have, and they don't see Trey as a long-term starting point guard anyway. So yeah. I just think that's the reason.
So the main problem is roster construction.
Yeah.
More roster construction.
I think we knew that coming in. Like, this isn't the finished product.
No.
This roster. Like, they're not sitting here going, here's our playoff Victor Wembanyama roster. But they knew that wasn't going to be the case. And they know that it's lacking. I think what you're looking at is, what they're looking at is, what is this team going to look like 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 4 years from now? Which of these guys are still going to be part of that team? And those are the guys they're really focused on. Knowing that they're going to bring in free agents in the future, knowing there's more lottery draft picks to come, knowing there could be trades in the works in the next couple of years. So it's roster construction, but it's not like, you know, they put this team together and said, okay, we're done, here it is. You know, that they're well aware this isn't a finished product. And so I think the roster construction is a thing that's still ongoing. I mean, it's going to be ongoing for years, really.
That sounds like something you explain on Media Day, correct? No?
Yeah. That's a good point.
I mean, I think that's going to be the theme throughout the season, is Pop's misplaced comments on that they were trying to win games this season. And obviously, if you don't have a good roster to support that, you don't have point guard, you don't have a first string point guard, you're probably not trying to win that many games, because you can't really do that. I mean, that's just not possible, and doesn't look like it's possible at 17 losses in a row.
There were better ways for him to phrase that. I think they're trying to win as many games as they can with the roster they have.
Well,
which is for right now, that number is 3.
At some point, I think you'd at least try to start Trey Jones if you actually want to stop this losing streak and see if it just works. Just one time, just see if it works better with the starting lineup. You can outscore. Maybe that starting lineup doesn't lose and your bench doesn't lose. You know, maybe just, I mean, they're losing all the minutes. So, I mean, I don't know at what point you can stop the bleeding one way or the other, but.
I'm not going to get worked up. But I think just as a business, we care way too much about starting lineups. It's the minutes. I think when Tom was gone and we brought up total minutes played of certain groups, they're not that many. It's just because of it's on the stat sheet to start out with. It's what people talk about before the game starts. Like it's more about total minutes played of units of players with players that matters. I think in broad terms, every team, not just the Spurs, the whole starting lineup idea is we make way too much of it. I think it matters. It matters, but it matters way less than we think it does. That's just my 2 cents. I think if there was a magic bullet of start Trey Jones and they win 3 in a row, I just don't buy that.
Yeah.
But sure, I'm open to it. Let's try new stuff. Maybe just if it's a mental thing and they like it more, whatever. I do have one thing to add to the episode from last week when Tom was gone. When Tom was gone to make up for that loss, we turned to the listeners and an email that was sent, and I thought we handled it well. I thought we gave it the respect that it deserved. But while we were doing that, what we did not realize was that we had a longtime Spurs fan who was a first-time listener after just buying some earbuds. And he found our podcast to listen to, and the first one he tuned into was the one without Tom. And he says he won't be listening again. He says there is one guy who is very full of himself and condescending. He's the one who asked, are there any more boring questions? Anyway, he stopped listening soon after that because he had enough. So, like, I think Tom's week off might have cost us somebody because there was too much of the condescending guy, and I think we all know who the condescending guy is.
Is it you?
I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm apologizing because he's not listening again. But man, that's brutal. That just goes to show you that during the course of an NBA season, when you lose a guy just for a night or for a morning, like we did, we had one of our top guys gone for a week. Like that cost us big. That cost us in the long term because we lost this listener for good because Tom wasn't here to be more positive and less condescending.
I had a great time. Walked to Loring Park, beautiful part of Minneapolis. Ate beef stroganoff at Glick's. You guys have been to Glick's, I'm sure, several times. So I'm going through this. I'm having a great time. You know, the weather's not too bad. It's in the 40s. And I didn't know things were falling apart back at home.
I didn't realize it either. Yeah. I didn't realize it. I do.
You got to have a drummer.
Well, you know, I thought we did a good job. You know, I thought we picked up the slack pretty well.
Apparently not.
We overcame. you just can't please everybody all the time. You know, mm-hmm.
Hard to stay upbeat on when the losing streak's this long.
Can we compel him to give us another try? Is it?
I don't think so. He's done. He says, and this is Keith, by the way.
He seems
very nice too. He says, not trying to be mean here, just letting you know how this came across to a first time and last time listener.
My cousin Keith, man.
Yeah. Anyway, so sorry. I know Keith's not out there, but if anyone knows Keith, tell him we're sorry. I cannot promise. Here's the other thing. I cannot promise that if you come back, that person who you pointed out will be less condescending. That's part of the brand. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't want to listen to the Spurs Insider podcast because it's too condescending, that's like not wanting to watch the Lakers because we all, of LeBron.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's integral.
We all got to play, we all got to play our instrument, man. You know?
Yep.
I'm the lead guitarist. I got to come out there and wail some solos.
There you go. There you go. Prediction time for
I'm gonna say five listeners. That's what we're losing this week. Is that what we're predicting?
That's not what we're predicting.
How many listeners I'm gonna run off?
We're also gaining listeners too. I think you know that a lot of people are into the solos.
You think it's a net gain? Okay, all right.
More people like the solos than are turned off by them. I think you just don't hear as much from the satisfied customers.
You know what? You're right. Nobody writes in when they're happy.
That's true.
As the guy who keeps the numbers, the net gain is fine.
Good to hear. So the net gain is fine. The solos are going over well.
Prediction.
With two.
Lakers play tonight at Dallas.
Oh, here we go.
You know, I'm feeling a win tomorrow.
How many times during this losing streak have you been feeling a win?
Only once, the Atlanta game. But
I thought they were going to win that Chicago game. I thought, or at least they had a good chance. And it turned out they did have a good chance. They just didn't, as per usual, they had a good chance, but didn't.
So prediction time, Tom's saying a victory in the first Lakers game or the second one?
Wednesday night. It's the second of a back-to-back for the Lakers.
If you're going to get them, you're going to... Yeah, if you're going to get them, you better get them on the back-to-back.
Coming Victor's off the high of the...
Victor wants a good showing against LeBron.
Maybe they'll get a DNP from one of them to help out.
Yeah.
If Anthony Davis... tournament championship victory, they're already planning, they're raising their banner in the rafters.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, we were talking earlier about the race for the bottom, the Spurs and the Pistons. Like, does the winner / loser of that race, do they hang a banner too?
Well, let's not leave out the Wizards there either. The Wizards are pretty bad.
Oh, the Wizards are rolling. They beat Detroit.
They 3-19, lost 5 in a row, and rolling.
Yeah, their only win, like I didn't really count it up, but they would have one of these epic losing streaks too, except they played the Pistons once.
They played the Pistons, yeah. So they beat the Pistons. I don't think a banner will be held, will be raised for the winner of that. That's not very
good. Oh, now you're being condescending.
Yeah. You mentioned the Chicago game in passing, but and the listeners probably do not care, but just how delightful is DeMar DeRozan? Like,
yeah, I miss that dude.
We walked in after that game and had a conversation with the fellow like a human at his locker, and just a guy who I think
at his locker
will never be appreciated in this town, because he didn't win. And that was during a period where Spurs were kind of learning that they weren't contenders anymore. But just a good guy, a guy we like talking to, who appreciates his time around here, who said some very positive things about the future of the Spurs. And, you know, whenever they do get where they're going, they're going to be there for a long time. And that's probably worth remembering. Even in the midst of a 17-game losing streak, even during the worst start to a season in franchise history, and even during a year in which the head coach proclaimed that the team was going to win more, all that is very, very disappointing. All that is frustrating. But if this goes where they hope it goes, and we shouldn't take that for granted, because obviously they have not... proven yet that they are on the right track. But if they get there, like that, the plan is not just to get there for a year like DeMar's former team in Toronto did. When Toronto was traded by the Raptors got better real quick, won a championship the next year, and then Kawhi was gone, and now they're kind of back to middle in the pack in the East. I think when the Spurs traded DeMar, they got worse by design, and the plan is to get better for the long haul. So, I don't know. I just think it's sometimes you need outside eyes to look at something. And DeMar has those outside eyes. He comes in and says, hey, things could be good.
It would help.
Did you enjoy that, Jeff?
Yeah, I did. I did. I do think it would help the sense of optimism if they would win like one of every 18 games.
I agree. But anyway, you know, just think about DeMar's perspective over the next week. We will be back next week on Wednesday to greet your devices, your AirPods. Maybe even Keith will give us another chance. If not, it's okay. We understand.
Can't get through.
We'd love to have you back. If anybody knows Keith, let him know. We'll be here. And until then, take care of each other and keep it real.